we hinted at it last episode, rules are necessary. There are safety reasons for some rules, but rules have to be balanced in the home with some love. And we're going to talk about that today. I'm John Fuller. Thanks for joining us. Dr. Danny Huerta is here. He leads our parenting team. And Danny, what's a rule that you and Heather had for the two kids as you were raising them?
Yeah, this was a tricky one from an early age. Just what does it mean to not have bad language in the home? Cuss words.
Yeah, like Christian cuss words.
Which ones are cuss words, which ones are not, and words they're hearing at school, and if they come home, oh, that's a bad one. I didn't know that was a bad one. That's a good one. And this line of we're going to have life-giving words in our home.
So that's the rule?
And that's what we came to, because when we go to no cussing, we found out it was just, for some kids, this is a cuss word.
That's an automatic challenge for some kids to say, well, how about this? Can I do that? What is that?
Right.
So what you've done is framed it as the rule is we're going to use affirming, life-giving words.
Life-giving words in the home. And sometimes that's correction. Sometimes that's, hey, I didn't like this, or I'm upset about this.
Yeah.
Because it brings life to a relationship. Whereas cuss words have no life-giving, redemptive value to them.
Yeah.
And many times it's done to try to look cool, and that's actually trying to consume other people because you're trying to look a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had great conversations along the way about this line of what does it mean to have these life-giving words and not have cuss words in our home.
I love that, and I hope that you are making a mental note of that, Mom and Dad. Frame these rules in a positive way. We're going to turn now to a conversation with Dr. Randy Schrader, who spoke with Focus President Jim Daly about rules and about helpful strategies to influence your child's behavior.
In your book, you share about three I's. I think this is really good. This is something we do corporately here at Focus. The board meets and they have me leave the room and they ask our CFO these same three I questions.
Oh, really?
What are they? Has Jim Daly done anything immoral, illegal, or irreversible?
Uh-huh.
And those are good questions, as for an adult or for a child.
Yes, sir. And a lot of times parents will ask me, you know, should I let my child do this or should I let my child do that? Again, parents want to have guidelines and rules and expectations for their child, but not too rigid. I know society is different today in terms of hairstyle, but when I was growing up years and years ago, it wasn't appropriate to have hair over your ears. And I had hair over my ears.
It's even funny to talk about that.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
I'm glad you finally conformed.
Well, I was going to say
willingly or unwillingly
to my parents' unhappiness. But you know, was it immoral for me to have hair over my ears? No. What is it illegal? No. Was it irreversible? No. Of course, it can't be reversible because I'm bald today. But and so you know. Your parents need to my mom and dad just let that go, and that's okay.
Mm. Revenge from the 60s and 70s,
right? That's right. That's right.
God always has his way. That's so funny. One of the things you express in the book is that we shouldn't praise one child in front of the other to avoid hurting that child's feelings. How do we balance praising them publicly and correcting them privately?
And certainly that's a cliche.
Yeah.
And we do want to praise publicly and correct privately because that can shame a kid if it causes them to feel like a defect, a mistake, if they get corrected in public.
Yeah.
And so praise is powerful. And just to kind of tag on to what you just said, Jim, yeah, parents need to be careful if they have more than one child to praise their children individually. You know, if you were my sons and I said, Jim, I really appreciate how hard you worked at school and you got good grades. And John's my son and he's sitting there and thinking, hey, doesn't dad like me?
No,
you know,
that's true.
He just, and so it would cause John to have lower self-worth and lower self-confidence. So it's important for parents to keep that in mind as well with their compliments and their praise, even publicly.
Let me ask you, I don't think I did a good job of that part of separating it, but I think I did do a good job of praising them generally equally in front of each other.
And that's fine. Yeah. You know, if I say, I appreciate your hard work in math, Jim, and I appreciate your hard work, John, in social studies, well, you both got that appreciation vitamin. And you both feel, hey, dad believes in me and has confidence in me.
Yeah. Another concept you put in the book, which is so funny, the story of Miss Talker and the power of optimism and positive labels. And John, you know the story. I mentioned a couple times on air, but I remember my mom's best friend at the time, I think I was 5 years old, and I could talk. It's so funny I've ended up doing what I'm doing. But she turned to me and she said, "You have diarrhea of the mouth." And I remember for like 3 hours, I tried to say nothing because I didn't want to overtalk.
You want to go against that negative right? label. Yeah.
But that was when I read that, I was so connected with that. I mean, it was powerfully negative to me for a short period of time. But I still remember it to this day, the impact it made on me. Like, be quiet, you talk too much.
Well, and parents need to recognize, helpful or harmful, kids will live up to whatever labels a parent gives them or other people give them. and so labels are powerful. Words can make us healthy. Words can make us unhealthy. Mm-hmm. And so when a parent says to a child, "I appreciate your hard work. I appreciate your determination. I appreciate your terrific character. I appreciate your respect." Those labels, that a child will fulfill that reputation. And could I tell the story about
Miss Tucker?
Now, I had a mom. Dad did not come to the first session, but mom brought her daughter and sat down with her daughter on the sofa. And the daughter did not say anything to me. I said hi to the daughter and tried to get her to answer a question. She didn't. But mom sat on the sofa, and immediately, before almost I could say anything, mom said, "Dr. Schrader, our daughter is extremely shy. She doesn't talk." And so I got with mom in private, and I went over a number of these simple yet very effective words and actions that make a difference. And then I asked mom, I said, "Mom, whenever your daughter talks at home, and will you please ask your husband also to tell your daughter, I appreciate your good talking. And then go to school and tell the teacher and the teacher assistant, whenever she talks at school, to make sure she says, I appreciate how good you're talking." Huh. And I asked the little girl, she's sitting on the sofa with mom, before I met with mom privately, I said, ask her a few questions, and she did answer them. And I said, "You are a really good talker. I appreciate how good you talk. May I call you Miss Talker? When I look at you, I see Miss Talker on your forehead." Huh. And she smiled and said, "Yes, Dr. Schrader." Well, every time I saw her, I never called her a name. When I would say mom and her and daughter were in the lobby, I'd say, "Mom and Miss Talker, come on back to my office." And whenever I talked to her in the office, I just called her continually, "Miss Talker, Miss Talker, Miss Talker, Miss Talker." And when she talked well, I would tell her, "I appreciate how good a talker you are."
Yeah.
Well, 6 months later, John and Jim, what had that little girl become?
Yeah.
She was a talker. She learned to be a good talker. But that positive label that mom, dad, and the teacher gave her and grandparents made a huge difference. And so parents can never underestimate the power of words. Parents can never underestimate the power of labels.
Danny, it's critical for us to realize that the labels that we put on our kids have influence. They mean something, and we have to be thoughtful and mindful about this. I sometimes hear parents just casually using, you know, this kind of almost pejorative label for their child. It's like, ah. So have you worked with a family in which mom and dad made a change in the labeling and that affected the child in a positive way?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen this in various ways. And actually, as of late, John, I've had a lot of parents say, "Hey, don't share our child's diagnosis. We don't want them to be labeled." Hmm. There's been an interesting push in the last year or so where they feel allergic to this, what they would call label, because they think now my child's going to be constrained to that, yet that's a starting point. We need to know what is going on with this child. So I've been very careful as to how we use this idea of a diagnosis as a label. But what we're talking about here are these labels that we use loosely, like, "Hey, you're so inflexible," or you're mean," or for some parents, believe it or not, they've called their kids stupid or dumb or not smart. And so the child begins to say, "Well, I must not be smart," right? They conclude that instead of, "Hey, this is not your strength, but this is." And you point them towards something redemptive. And with my own daughter, she can tend to be inflexible sometimes, Lexi has, and stubborn. And so I've used those words, "Man, you're so stubborn sometimes," or "You're so inflexible sometimes." And I go, "Oh, no. You're very focused and you are a leader. And I need to really help you use that in ways that are going to be very useful and very helpful." And we smile at that because she can see the shift that I'm trying to tell her. These things can be frustrating, but they can be very amazingly great. And I want to get you to that. And so we've had great conversations on that. And I've seen families do that. We just naturally, in our frustration, bring out labels. We just need to be aware of that and see, how can I bring life to my child with a new description of what this could be?
Yeah, what this could be. I like that. That's a great way to think. And if you're wondering about your son or daughter getting enough encouragement from you, or if you're wondering about the rules you have in place and are you framing them properly, visit the show notes and follow the link for our free parenting assessment. Now, this is a really great tool for you as a mom or a dad. And Danny, I want you just to give us a headline. Why is the assessment so effective?
Really, it gives you a starting point as a parent. You can see two places that are strengths for you, and then you bring those every day in that strength that you have. And then you have two areas of growth and then three areas of potential strength. So you have these seven feedback points for you as a parent, and it gives you just some real practical tools of how you can live out these seven traits so that you can raise contributors rather than consumers in God's kingdom.
Yeah, we're looking to help you be the best mom or dad you can be. That free parenting assessment, newly redesigned, is just a great resource, and we want you to take that. So follow the link in the show notes. And then while you're there, consider a donation to Focus on the Family. Help us make this podcast and provide resources, develop free tools for you to use. Make a donation, either a monthly pledge of any amount or a one-time gift of any amount, and we'll send Dr. Randy Schrader's book to you as our thank you and as a way to put some great advice into your hands. It's called Simple Habits for Effective Parenting. Again, all the details to donate and to get that book are in the show notes. Next time, Roland Warren shares about overcoming deep wounds as a child. And for now, on behalf of Danny and the entire team, I'm John Fuller, and thanks for listening to the Focus on the Family Parenting Podcast.